Welcome to Charity Mecha, Nach Yomi, with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Rena Foreman, and today we will be studying Cheskel, Perek Yud Gimel, Chapter 13. We will touch on themes from the end of the last Perek, Perek Yud Bet, as well. So far in Cheskel, we have seen our share of the nation's misdeeds. There was Avodah Zarah and Hamas. The focus now, at the end of Perek Yud Bet and Perek Yud Gimel, is on another kind of sin. The sin of the false prophets who misrepresent their false and contradictory messages as Hashem's word. As we pointed out in Perek Yud Aleph, these words of the false prophets, the Nevi'i Sheker, are appealing to the nation. They are exactly what the people want to hear. As we'll see, Yechezkel frames the phenomenon of Nevi'i Sheker not so much as another category of sin, but as a catalyst that leads the people to sin in the first place. These Nevi'i Sheker provide the people with a false feeling of complacency, leading them to transgress. At the end of Perek Yud Bet, in Pasuk Chaf Daled, Hashem promises a future in which such prophets would be eradicated. Ki lo ye'od kol chazon shav u'miksam chalak b'toch be'Yisrael. There will no longer be useless words or magical smooth talk in Israel. Now let's get into what the nature of the false prophecies were in Yechezkel's day. Back in Perek Yud Aleph, we began to hear about these prophecies. Self-styled prophets would say, Lo b'karov b'not batim, we won't need to build houses in Babel soon. Hi asir v'anachnu habasar, Yerushalayim will protect us like a pot. And the psukim going into our parak continue the trend. In Perek Yud Bet Pasuk Chaf Bet, the people, based on these prophets, predict, Yerachu hayam b'vavad kol chazon, it will be a long time until the galut, if it happens at all. Looking at these quotes, it seems that these prophecies were like slogans, little sound bites, mantras that people would comfort themselves with. You know that feeling of a song that you just can't get out of your head? Yechezkel calls these slogans mishalim. The common denominator of these prophecies, these broken records, was to sway the nation from worrying about future exile. Interestingly, it is possible that these false prophets were not incorrigible evil people who maliciously sought to mislead the people. We get a different sense of them from Perek Yud Gimel Pasuk Bet, which reads, Ben Adam Hinave El Nevi'i Yisrael Hanibaim. Did you catch that? These prophets are referred to as Nevi'i Yisrael. That's not a term we would expect to see in association with a charlatan. Who were these prophets, really? Some contemporary writers, such as Tanakh lecturer Dr. Tova Ganzel, conjecture that these prophets were people who perhaps started out as a regular true Nevi'im of Israel, but then went astray. They were people who wanted to believe things would be better, wanted to tell the people what would make them happy, and trusted, in their own obsequious words, a little too much. At the end of this pasuk, we seem to get a confirmation of this picture. God refers to these Nevi'im as Nevi'im Libam, Nevi'im who go after their own hearts, and Hanevi'im Asher Hochim Acharucham, the Nevi'im that go after their own spirits. Why would these Nevi'im, who used to be true prophets, who served God with integrity, why would they make things up on their own? Well, the lot of a true Navi in Yechezkel's day was a lonely and unpopular one. God's message at this point in history was bleak. The nation is transitioning to a life of exile. It's probably not the most palatable of messages to give over. If the message is uncomfortable, these prophets would be tempted to distort the truth. And maybe they weren't even so conscious of their biases. Maybe they convinced themselves in their own minds of a different reality, just as they convinced the people. Self-deception can lead innocent people to do evil things. But if these prophets may not have initially had evil intentions, the effects of their actions were devastating. The next psukim give us a sense of that. Kishualim b'charavot nevi'echa Yisrael hayu. Like foxes going through ruins, that's what your nevi'im were like. In this pasuk, the breaches in the walls, in the ruins, perhaps are the people's sins that they would prefer to ignore. Their spiritual vulnerabilities that bring the nation nearer and nearer to its collapse. God compares the behavior of these prophets to the behavior of foxes. Why foxes of all things? Well, what do foxes do? They make their way through ruins of human civilization. We will see in a moment that the next verse mentions holes in the ruins. That's what foxes do. They slink through holes in ruins. Maybe these Nevi'i Sheker were doing something similar. There are holes in the civilization on the brink of collapse, which is to say, the people are not just sinful, they are susceptible because of those sins. They are vulnerable. The people would much rather ignore their sins and believe that good times are just around the corner. The foxes, the false prophets, exploit these holes in the ruins. The next pasuk accuses these Nevi'im of failing to be true leaders. Lo alitam bapratzot, batikdu gader al bei Yisrael, lamod b'melchama b'yom Hashem. As leaders, the Nevi'im would be expected to help the people repair these breaches, or at least not exploit them. At the very least, help the people come to terms with the reality of Galut. Help them prepare for what is to come. God says, you, the leaders, you didn't help repair the proverbial fences. Not only did you not repair these breaches, but you actually took advantage of the holes in the wall. The Nevi'im did not act as leaders should. They told people what they wanted to hear. They misrepresented Hashem's word, taking advantage of the weakness and susceptibility of the nation. In the words of Pasuk Vav, they constantly say they are saying Ne'um Hashem, the word of Hashem, but God didn't send them. And again in Pasuk Zayin, Ha'omrim Ne'um Hashem v'Hashem lo shlacham. They say they are giving over the word of God, but God says, I didn't say this. In the very next Pasuk, Hashem turns that mantra of the false prophets, Ne'um Hashem, Hashem's true word, against them. Lachain, kol mar Hashem Elokim, ya'an daberchem shav, v'chazitim kazav, lachain hinni aleichem ne'um Hashem Elokim. God says, in effect, my true word is that I'm not going to let these Nevi'im get away with this fox-like behavior. In the next psukim, Yechezkel makes clear that the Nevi Sheker will not escape the national destruction that they themselves help foster. Now, I'm going to read some of these verses in Hebrew that describe all this, and I want you to listen to them. I'm not going to actually translate them. Just listen for some repeating words. See if you can pick them up. Emor al tzachei tafel, v'yipol, ha'yageshem shoteh v'atena, avnei akabish tipolna, v'roch zarot zivakea, v'inei nafal akir, alo yamir alechem, ayatiach asher tachtem, v'chein kol mar Hashem Elokim, uvikati roch zarot b'chamati, v'geshem shoteh v'apiyya, v'avnei al gabish b'chema l'chala, v'arasi et hakir asher tachtem tafel, v'yigatiu el ha'aretz, v'nigla yisoda, v'nafla uchlitem b'tocha, v'yidatem keni Hashem, v'chiliti achamati bakir, uvatachim oto tafel, v'amar lechem, ein hakir v'ein atachim oto. You may have caught that, the shorish tach, 7 times in the space of these few psukim. When you see a word that many times in a group of psukim, it's likely that the Navi is trying to tell us something. The repeating word holds a kind of key to what's going on. In our case, the first thing to do is to make sure to understand the meaning of the word. According to Mitzvot Zion, our go-to Befarish for translation, the word tach means to spread or smear, to cover up a hole. Somehow, holes and walls seem to be a theme in our parag. What does covering holes have to do with the false prophets? Well, a lot, if you think about it. Hashem spoke before about these ruins, these unstable walls. They are filled with cracks and holes, and in these psukim, Yechezkel accuses the Nevi'im of whitewashing or papering over the walls, thereby obscuring the vulnerabilities in the wall without actually fixing them. Yechezkel prophesies that the wall, the society, will ultimately collapse because of these papered over cracks that the Nevi'im helped the people pretend weren't there. But Yechezkel says the Nevi'im will not escape ruin themselves. They too will be crushed in the coming avalanche. Harasti takir asher tachtem tafel. V'igatiu el ha'aris, v'nigla yisodo, v'nafla uchlitem b'tocha, v'idatam ken Yashem. Hashem says, I will destroy this wall that you whitewashed. I'm going to bring it to the ground, to its foundation. It will fall, and you will be decimated within it. Reality will intrude on the niceties of these false prophets. There are further dimensions in Hashem's response to these false prophets. Let's continue the psukim, and we will hear about them. Yan uviyan hit'u etami, because they misled my nation. But look at that, yan uviyan, a double because. This phrase would be meaningful to the listener of Yechezkel's words because of the echoes it carries, echoes sure to send chills down the spines of the listener. This double yan, yan uviyan, appears only one other time in the Torah. Not surprisingly, the only other time we have this phrase is in a text we've seen constantly referenced throughout Yechezkel. Yes, the Tochacha. Here are the words in the Tochacha that Yechezkel is now echoing. Yan uviyan b'mishvatai ma'asu. Because, double because, they despise my laws. Right? Listen to Yechezkel again and you'll hear it. Yan uviyan hitu tami. But truthfully, in this verse from Yechezkel, the echoes of the Tochacha run even deeper. Because it's not just the yan uviyan of that pasuk that reminds us of the Tochacha, but the very next part of the same pasuk has echoes of the Tochacha as well. Here's the rest of the pasuk. Yan uliyan hitu tami lemur shalom ve'ed shalom. Because, or double because, they misled my nation, telling them there would be peace when there was no peace. And now, listen to how that part about shalom, peace, how that too echoes Vayikra. You see, back in Vayikra, right before the Tochacha started, we heard how if Bnei Israel kept the laws, there would be shalom. There would be peace and tranquility in the land. There will be peace in the land, and you'll be able to lay and not be afraid. After this, we get the terrible tochacha, which lasts for many, many psukim. And then, at the very end of it, its final bookend, which we referenced earlier, yanu v'yan b'mishpatay ma'asu v'echukotay negala nafsham. So the tochacha is kind of bookended by these two phrases, shalom and yanu v'yan, the same phrases Yechezkel is now putting together in a single phrase, yanu v'yan hitu utami lemor shalom v'ein shalom. It's almost as though the treachery of the Nevi Sheker of Yechezkel can be summed up this way. They are lying to the nation about which section of Parshat Bechukotai actually applies to them. They mislead the nation into thinking that they are right in line to receive the first part, the Brecha, that which precedes the Tochacha, the Shalom. That's what they think is coming to them, they preach. In reality, though, that's false. It's the last part, the curses that the people are heading for. All that is concisely implied by Yechezkel with the words Ya'anu v'yan, hitu utami lemor shalom v'ein shalom. Now that we see how Yechezkel is quoting the Tochacha, another aspect of his words comes into focus, because one more connection between these texts is the word Geshem. If we look at the Bracha part of the Tochacha, we see that Hashem promises rain at its appropriate time. V'natati gishmechem b'itam. Here in Yechezkel, in Perek Yud Gimel, the Navi uses the same word Geshem, but with an opposite connotation. I will take out my wrath against you with Geshem. V'geshem shoteif ba'piyya. But it won't be a gentle rain like the Bracha promises. It will be a klela-like rain. It will be a geshem shoteith, a rainstorm that will destroy. V'nafla uchlitem betocha. The rain will destroy the shaky edifice that you built, and you, the Nevi Sheker, will be destroyed within that wall. In the next section of the parak, starting in Pasuk Yud Zayin, Hashem tells Yechezkel to turn toward another group of false prophets. This time, Hashem says, turn toward the women of your nation. Like their male counterpart, Nevi'im, these women give prophecies according to what their hearts tell them, without any basis in reality. Pasuk Chaf Bet tells us that these lies have terrible consequences. They convince tzaddikim that their ways are misguided and validate the behavior of Rasha'im. Ya'an hach'o leiv tzaddik sheker v'ani lo hirachtiv, telling tzaddikim that their ways are misguided. U'lechazek yidei rasha, and they strengthen the hands of the Rasha'im, levil tishuv v'darko hara l'chayoto, preventing them from doing tshuva and preventing them from life. There is something more, though, that stands out about these Nevi'ot. The word tzad, to capture, appears repeatedly in various forms of these psukim in connection with these women. Again, let's listen. I won't translate right now, and let's listen and see if we hear the word. Hine al kisto techeina asher tena mesodedot sham et nefashot leforchot v'karati otam me'al zerotechem v'shilachti tenefashot asher tena mesodedot et nefashim leforchot. Did you hear it? It's the word sad, or mesodedot, to capture. The psukim seem to be leading us to view the overarching sin of these women as that of capturing the nation. And Hashem's response to that is that he will free the people from their traps. You'll remember that Yechezkel spoke earlier of someone being captured in a net. It was the king, Tzidkiyahu. And now, the nets are back. The words of the Nevi'ot have the effect of trapping the nation, Yechezkel says. V'shilachti et nefashot asher tem mitzodado et nefashim lefarcho. God will release them from the mitzuda. He will allow the people deceived by these Nevi'ot to escape the trap and fly away. Lefarcho. The image here is that of a bird, almost as though the nation that the false prophets are endangering is threatened like a bird. This imagery recalls another time very early on in Chumash, where we also have the metaphor of Israel being likened to a bird that God allows to fly free. In the Brit Ben Abtarim, Hashem commands Avraham to split up the corpses of many animals, but one living creature stays alive and is not split. Instead, it seems to be left to fly free. That creature, of course, is a bird, V'et HaTzipor Lo Batar. The imagery of the Brit Ben Abtarim is hard to decipher, but we can't conjecture about the meaning of that symbolic bird flying free over the other corpses. Who is the bird? Seemingly, it is Bnei Israel. Because remember, in that brit, Hashem tells Avraham that his nation will be enslaved, but Hashem will ultimately save them. The little bird then is Israel, which ultimately survives once God sets it free of its trap. Yechezkel seems to be coming back to this idea here. The false Nevi'ot are laying traps for the bird, fooling the bird into believing that everything will be fine, that it doesn't need to change its ways. But Hashem will intercede. He won't allow the false Nevi'ot to have the last word. The trap will be undone. The bird will be set free. Thank you for studying together. Li'iluy Nishmat, Riva Schwab, Rivka Bat Alexander.